From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. It's been 2 weeks since President Donald Trump ordered National Guard soldiers to Washington, D.C., and 2 months since he did so in Los Angeles. And now he's talking about doing the same thing here in Illinois.
Multiple media reports say the Trump administration has been planning for National Guard troops in Chicago for weeks.
Chicago's a mess. You have an incompetent mayor, grossly incompetent, and we'll straighten that one out probably next. That'll be our next one after this.
This time, troops are expected to have a broader focus of combating crime and unprecedented use of the National Guard.
Earlier today in the Oval Office, Donald Trump looked at the assembled cameras and asked for me personally to say, Mr. President, can you do us the honor of protecting our city?
Chicago, everybody knows how bad it is. Everybody standing there knows. We know. You don't have to be doing any studies. They should be saying, please come in. Pritzker should be saying that.
Instead, I say, Mr. President, do not come to Chicago. You are neither wanted here nor needed here.
In case it wasn't clear there, the timeline on that is that President Trump broached the idea of Chicago on Friday. Then over the weekend, the Washington Post reported that the Pentagon had been planning for such a deployment for months. But then on Monday, Trump seemed to pump the brakes, saying he wanted Pritzker to ask for help, which, as you heard from a news conference yesterday afternoon, the governor declined to do. Joining me once again to provide context and think through what's happening is retired Major General Bill Enyart. He led the Illinois National Guard from 2007 to 2012 and also represented the people of Southern Illinois for one term in the Congress. General Enyart, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thank you, Brian. It's great to be with you this morning.
So let's take a step back from Illinois for a moment. Looking at what's been happening in Washington, D.C., what is your top-line reaction to the deployment of Guard soldiers in our nation's capital?
Well, I think it's a great waste of a valuable asset. Now, Trump has a far greater flexibility in calling out the Guard in Washington, D.C., because it's a federal enclave. But let's face facts here. There isn't a rebellion going on in Washington, D.C. Nobody's burning cars in the streets. Nobody's attacking police officers, except back on January 6th when Trump supporters did. So to call out the National Guard to stand around the Washington Monument or around Union Station with M4 carbines and pistols on their hips is simply showmanship. It is not designed to do anything serious. And furthermore, the National Guard is not trained to be civilian law enforcement officers. They're trained to be soldiers and airmen. So they're wasting their skills, wasting their assets in a job that they're not trained to do.
So what do you think then of the president's idea that maybe he could try and export this to a place like Chicago, and acknowledging maybe as part of that that the laws are different with Washington, D.C. and every other place in America?
Well, the laws are absolutely different. So the president has the authority under a couple of different places to call up the National Guard. One would be the Insurrection Act. Another would be under Title 10, 12. 406. Then additionally, there's Title 32, but that's where the governor is still in charge of the troops. So we know that is not going to apply here. In order to call them up under the Insurrection Act, it requires that there be a rebellion or that there be that it's impossible for the laws of the United States to be enforced in the ordinary course of judicial proceedings. An insurrection or domestic violence or some kind of unlawful combination of that, that's not the case in Chicago. That is not happening. And nobody disputes that Chicago has crime, but its crime is a whole lot less than a lot of cities in red states. So again, here, his threats to do so are simply a misuse of a great American asset. I think everyone wants to feel secure in their homes, their persons, their property. And the way to do that is to provide adequate resources to community policing. It's not dramatic video of soldiers standing in front of the Washington Monument, for example.
You mentioned that Guard soldiers are not trained for law enforcement, setting aside specifically MPs. But what could the Guard do? What couldn't it do? I think people think back to, you know, you mentioned National Guard in Chicago. People's minds go to 1968. What sort of role does the Guard have domestically in helping secure cities?
Well, you know, I can give you a closer in time example, the 1968, and that would be 2012, when Chicago hosted the NATO conference. It was at that time the largest NATO conference ever held anywhere in the world, and it was the largest national security event ever held outside the Washington, D.C. area. And we had 4,000 National Guardsmen from four different states on duty in Chicago helping provide security for that. They worked in cooperation with the Chicago Police Department, the Chicago Fire Department, the FBI, the Secret Service, even the Coast Guard was there protecting Lake Michigan's shorelines. So, and what, by and large, what we did was provide back office support, but we did have soldiers at O'Hare Field where we were guarding 50 Air Force One equivalents. That is the airplanes flown by chief executives, presidents, prime ministers of other nations. And so that's a legitimate use. We were there to support the local authorities. We were not there to do civilian law enforcement. And in 1968, if you go back and read the autobiography of the general, General John Phelps, who was in charge of that, there were no injuries, no shootings. The Illinois National Guard, by and large, were in encampments outside the city and were only there if necessary. That was primarily done by the Chicago Police Department.
I want to talk about this idea that Trump may deploy the Guard here, both at face value for what Trump says it's about and then what many of Trump's critics say it could be about. And let's start with the former. So the president signed this executive order yesterday. It aims to create a special rapid reaction Guard units for, quote, ensuring the public safety and order. What do you think of that? Is this something the Guard could be trained up to do, should be trained up to do?
Well, almost all National Guard units receive a minimal amount of training in responding to civil disturbances. Usually it's a couple of hours a year, and it's in how to deal with crowds and crowds of people in civil disturbance situations. So it's certainly something that we can do. And in fact, the Washington, D.C. National Guard gets more training in it than anyone else because they have a larger protest and they have more instances where they might be called upon to do that. So if you want to train 600 National Guardsmen as a special rapid reaction force, I don't have a problem with that. You know, we have all kinds of different rapid reaction forces, whether it's fighting fires or other natural disasters. And 600 National Guardsmen is not a whole lot of the force. We have over 300,000 Army Guard and over 100,000 Air Guard, so it's not a big contingent. And I think, again, this is probably more for public consumption. It's more PR than it is anything else.
Well, okay, so let's engage with that argument then. And this is what Governor Pritzker had to say yesterday about what he thinks President Trump is up to.
Donald Trump wants to use the military to occupy a U.S. city, punish his dissidents, and score political points. If this were happening in any other country, we would have no trouble calling it what it is, a dangerous power grab.
We're speaking with retired General Bill Enyart, former commander of the Illinois National Guard, also a former Democratic congressman from Southern Illinois. So, General, do you share Governor Pritzker's view that this is really a power grab? It's about a show of force. It's about that Democratic, I guess, backsliding is the term some people use.
Well, you know, I think Governor Pritzker, and I watched his speech yesterday. I think he made some very good points. I think that what Donald Trump is doing here is providing a distraction. It's providing a distraction for the media, a distraction for the public. He wants to take attention away from the increasing price of foods, of staples. Coffee is up more than 30% over the last year. That's just one example. Hamburger is up more than 30% over the last year. In every month, You know, he promised during his campaign that he would lower food prices on day one. Well, since January, since his inauguration, food prices have gone up every single month, except one, since January. So he needs a distraction to distract from that, from the impact that tariffs are having on our economy, and from, frankly, from the Jeffrey Epstein files. He doesn't want to talk about any of those things. Instead, what he wants to do is talk about what a great law and order president he is by sending in the National Guard and untrained law enforcement activity. So I think that is the primary reason Trump is doing it.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because and I've heard that argument from other Democrats that this is a distraction from, as you mentioned, food prices or the Epstein files. But, you know, I have a friend in D.C. who's very nervous about all the military personnel he's seeing around his city, and also the other masked federal agents that are seizing people off the street in his city. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, how worried are you that America really and truly is well on the way towards, you know, call it what you will, tyranny, authoritarianism, some version of what we've seen in certain Central and Eastern European countries?
I think if you take a look at Project 2025, and I know that President Trump has denied any knowledge of it, yet almost every single person who had part in writing Project 2025 is now sitting in a position in his administration. The leader of that is the director of OMB, the Office of Management and Budget. Those people are determined to take America back, not to the 1980s or not 1950s. They want to take it back to the 1880s, and are very busy wrecking all of the government programs and regulations that protect our safety, protect our environment, protect our drinking water. I haven't read all of it, but I will tell you, I read the part on the Veterans Administration, and they want to destroy the Veterans Administration, which is the largest healthcare system in the world. And I get treated at the VA hospital. They do great service, but they're intent on wrecking it and turning that over to for-profit hospitals in the private sector, a wrong thing to do for veterans. So I think that whether it's a question of going to an authoritarian government, it's certainly going to be a government that is less designed to work for all of the people and more designed to provide benefits and tax breaks for billionaires.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong on this. I think you were the last Democrat to truly represent Southern Illinois in Congress. And I would suspect that, you know, a fair number of the people who voted for you eventually or are now sort of MAGA Trump supporters. And I wonder, with that in mind, what would you say to a citizen like that to try to convince them of how you see what's happening in America today?
Well, you know, I think that's that'd be pretty easy. And I've got a few questions I'd like to ask MAGA supporters. Number one, what was the price of hamburger a year ago? $5.35 a pound nationally. How much is it today? $6.98 a pound nationally. That's 30% increase. How much was coffee a year ago? $6.32 a pound. How much is it today? $8.41 a pound. That's more than a third increase. So what happened to Trump's campaign promises to lower food prices on the first day of his term? How much, and farmers, how much were you getting for soybeans in August of 2023 under Joe Biden's administration? Adjusted for inflation, the price of soybeans was $21.38 a bushel. Today, how much? $10.36 a bushel, down by more than half. Corn, same story. Biden's administration, August 2022, $7.15 a bushel. Today, how much is it? $3.88 a bushel.
You know,
China used to import 60% of the soybeans from America. Today, American farmers only garner 20% of the Chinese market. So tell me how Trump has been good for any of you as consumers or farmers.
We only have less than a minute left, and we're on a strict clock, so I will need to hold you to it. But one last thing I want to ask you about is Governor Pritzker, in his remarks yesterday, went out of his way to absolve guardsmen and women who might be called up. You know, they'd be following orders, just doing their jobs, he said. From your perspective, what is the legal and moral obligation of a soldier in a situation where the politics have become so closely intertwined with the deployment? And again, just about 30 seconds left.
Soldiers are required to follow the Constitution. Soldiers are required not to follow illegal orders. But the problem is that an order is presumed to be constitutional, presumed to be lawful. So they disobey any orders at their own risk. But a soldier is responsible. Should a soldier commit an unconstitutional act against a citizen, that soldier can and may well be held responsible for any unconstitutional act they perform. So soldiers are, that's why it's so difficult on soldiers to be placed in this politicized situation.
Major General Bill Enyart was Adjutant General of the Illinois National Guard from 2007 to 2012. He was also a Democratic congressman representing the 12th District. General Enyart, thank you for being with us again today on the 21st Show.
It's always a pleasure to be with you.
More to come after a break. Stay with us.
Support for the 21st Show comes from listeners like you and the Des Moines Arts Center, located in Iowa's capital city, featuring works by regional, national, and international artists of the 20th and 21st centuries. Details are at DesMoinesArtsCenter.org.